Hi and welcome to another episode of Outspoken. You're joined as usual by journalists Amy and Sophie Torber. Coming up on today's episode, the divisive new Instagram account that captures the elaborate measures influencers go to get the shot. We dissect the latest goss from the Love Island villa and the dating app that allows you to call out ghosters. But first, Amy, I don't know why I'm leading into this, but you have an embarrassing story to share about me from this
Yeah, well, if you thought Sophie hadn't embarrassed herself enough when she wore her shorts inside out to an Audi shopping center, this doesn't top it, but it just adds to the list of silly things you've done. So we had a meeting with a client on Friday afternoon and Sophie's phone just started, her alarm started going off. And Soph does have a lot of alarms to remind her to do a lot of things for clients, whether it's social media posts or sending emails. So I just apologized to the man that, and I repeat, man that we were with. And I'm like, oh, sorry, Soph always has alarms going off, probably to remind her about something work related. And Sophie goes, oh no, actually it's to remind me to buy the new Bondi Sands tan. I nearly died. I could not believe that you thought that that was acceptable to say in a meeting.
Now, to defend myself, it was a Friday afternoon. We were having a very casual, jokey, fun chat. So I thought it was okay to mention. And secondly, I also thought he might've seen the message pop up on my phone. So I wanted to explain myself.
What did the
message
say?
Buy a new fake tan. I just remind everyone, this is not sponsored by Bondi Sands. This is just how much Sophie loves Bondi Sands, because last episode, all you and Kate did was talk so much about the tan that our own mother, who never uses the tan, went out and bought it for herself.
Well, maybe they should get onto us, you
maybe
know?
Doing the Lord's work there. Well, someone who isn't a fan of the tan that I tried this week is Brandon. So
this is your boyfriend for those who this is their first episode listening to.
Yeah, well, on Friday night, I lathered myself in the new tan, which looks, you pay me out all the time for it looking black and green. It looked nice and brown this time.
Mm.
Anyway, I put that on. We get in the car to grab an ice cream from McDonald's.
And what a classy date now that you guys live together that you go on.
And I get in the car and we were driving around for a second and then Brandon's like, oh my gosh, I'll tell you one thing about that new tan. It smells 10 times worse. I felt like I'm getting high from the fumes. So that was his take on it.
Well, you do put a lot of it on, so I can imagine maybe that smell might not be the same for everybody who uses it a bit more liberally. I think we should probably move on though. Soph, what have you got for us today on?
Well, there is a new Instagram account that has caught my interest. It is called Influencers in the Wild, and it's dedicated to capturing the elaborate measures people to go to take the perfect gram. So the account was only created 2 weeks ago and has already amassed more than 500,000 followers.
Well, I have to admit, I am a new follower of this account, and I think it's safe to say Sophie may be the account's number one fan. When we were doing a little bit of research on this story, I caught Sophie laughing at the content on there. I'm going to insert a clip of Sophie's reaction to some of the videos.
I can't understand what you're saying.
Oh, fuck. That was so funny. Fuck, I just like, can you actually see the tears in my eyes? Oh, fuck.
Now, just to put it into context, the videos are showing influencers or wannabe influencers out on the streets taking these sort of cringeworthy photos. So I think the one that you lost it at was the girl who was trying to balance on one leg and pull a pose.
No, it was actually a girl who was taking a selfie at the front of what looked like a bakery or some random store. And at first I felt really sorry for her, but then the selfie just got taken that little extra bit further where she was poking out her tongue, pointing to the logo on her shirt. I just lost it.
I know in Australia we've got a few pages that are similar. So in South Australia we have a page called Shit Adelaide, and it doesn't just pay people out for taking Instagram shots. It pays just everything out about Adelaide. But there is a big section on the sort of boyfriends of Instagram of Adelaide. And then there's also this Sydney-based site, Brown Cardigan. Now I'm not as aware about this site because I'm more of an avid Shit Adelaide follower. But I think what's different about this is it's a bigger pool of people. It seems to be from an American man.
Yeah, well, it was actually started by a well-known meme creator who's called Tank Sinatra.
Oh, sorry. I just said that.
Sorry.
A bit like Frank Sinatra. All right. So anyway, this guy has 1.3 million followers on this meme account, and he encourages his followers to send in videos of these impromptu photo shoots that seem to happen on the street. And he was even shocked by the rapid growth of this account. And he believes he's...
Well, it's 2 weeks, isn't it? Yeah. It's only 2 weeks and it's nearly got 500,000 followers. That's a pretty good effort, regardless of your following before. Mm.
Well, he believes it's gained so many followers because he thinks that it speaks to something very relatable and satisfying in 2020. Oh. And he said it makes people feel like they're in on the joke.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite videos, it shows somebody filming this influencer or wannabe influencer, whoever, at an aquarium, and her boyfriend's filming her on this camera as she sort of looks up at the sea creatures above, and this goes on for a while, and then it flashes to this older man sort of paying her out, just whimsically looking around. And it's so funny because it just makes you think how silly we all must look when we do take our Insta stories or our Instagrams to the older generation, because they haven't grown up with it.
Well, I think to anyone of any age, really, people honestly don't seem to care these days about what they look like in real life. They just care about the little squares on their Instagram account and don't care about how they got that photo.
Well, I witnessed that firsthand when I went to Europe last year. I was shocked at how people did not care what anyone around them was thinking. The extravagant levels that some people went to get photos in some of those beautiful locations was astonishing. I think at the Colosseum, it was one of the worst I'd seen in terms of people not giving a shit what anyone thought. Also, I went to Cinque Terre in Italy, and there's this beautiful, it looks like a postcard sort of spot, and it's right in front of all these beautiful colored buildings. And it was so funny because I was filming on Snapchat this girl and her boyfriend doing this sort of like impromptu photo shoot, and my boyfriend was like, "Don't be so mean, like that's mean." And I was like, "I'm just sending it to my sisters. Like, this is hilarious."
And that's the thing. I think we've all been guilty of wanting to get a nice photo for Instagram. Don't get me wrong. I have been incredibly guilty of that in the past, but I think some people push it a little bit far.
I should put this into context. This girl was making her poor boyfriend lug this huge camera around, and she wasn't letting anybody else sit in this sort of prime spot. She was there for about 10 minutes taking photos, and I thought, this is taking the piss.
And that's the thing. We all recognize that some people doing this, like influencers, they actually need to get a great shot because that is their job. But a lot of the people featured on this account, I'm getting the vibe that that is not their full-time job.
Well, see, I'm in 2 months because I find this account hilarious, but then I would hate to end up on it, because sometimes if you're with your friends and you are trying to get a good photo and somebody filmed you, you would look like a massive dickhead.
And that's the thing, because we do have shit Adelaide here in South Australia, whenever I do take a picture with some friends, I am a little bit on edge and looking around because I don't want to be featured on there. So yeah, I am in 2 minds about this side as well, this account as well. While I do think it's incredibly fun, if you are on the other side of it, it could be very humiliating.
I feel like maybe it could be a good thing because people might change their Instagram etiquette in terms of how they do things in public. I mean, I don't know. It's so cringe some of the lengths people will go to.
I'm in such 2 minds though, because I feel like if I was in the Maldives or one of these beautiful locations, I would love to get a nice photo, but then again, I couldn't see myself going to the extreme lengths of pretending to do a handstand or one of those cringe ones.
Well, the crazy thing is, when I was in Europe, of course I wanted to have nice photos of the experience, but when you're sightseeing for so many hours and you're walking the streets and it's hot, you don't look that great. So when I do see people and they look super glam in their sort of like Trevi Fountain pic and all of that, I do wonder, did they get ready for hours and then just go there and take the photo? Because it makes you wonder if the enjoyment of the experience is taken away when people were sort of going to that extent to get the photo.
I do feel like it's lost and you're not really living in the moment and enjoying it.
I have heard some criticism that the Instagram account is sort of anti-women because it's predominantly women that are featured on the account. But I don't know. I think that there are some men on there, but it just seems that women are mostly influencers and women are more likely to be posing for photos to put on social media. I don't think it's
you know, against feminism or anything like that to follow this site or to have a little giggle about it. To be fair, there were a lot of men featured on the page as well, whether they were the boyfriends of the Instagrammers or posing in photos themselves. So I don't think it is anti-feminist at all. What about the argument that it could be considered bullying? If you're out in public and you are unaware that this vision's being taken and then it's put online to 500,000 people and you're ridiculed, or, you know, you do hear of sometimes people losing their job or if they are sort of paid out on such a large scale. I remember there was an account which shared a video of a couple and they were kind of dry humping on a beach, and this post got so many clicks that the Daily Mail picked up on it, and it was really humiliating for the people involved. And in that respect, I do think we have to think about it when it is on a platform with 600,000 followers now. There have been ones sent in that the people themselves have sent in, or a friend has sent in. I think if you've got the person's consent, it's okay. Do you know what? I also think it's up to the person who runs the site, in terms of if I was running a site like this and someone emailed me and said, hey, I'm in that video and I'm getting a lot of online hate, I think that they need to remove the video, because I think some of these pages, they are done in good fun and there isn't meant to be any hurt intended. I mean, it is easy just to take videos sometimes of people and not really think how it might affect them. Well, that's right. And if these people are so intent on putting across this perfect image of themselves online, then it will come as a bit of a blow to their ego seeing this. So it could be quite damaging for them. Well, it's also raised debate about, I suppose, giving society an insight into what goes into some of the influencers' photos, because we only really do see the final picture. You don't actually see the hilarious effort that's gone into the photo. So in that respect, I suppose it is kind of refreshing.
Yeah, it was very refreshing, because I do scroll through Instagram and you see some photos and you're like, oh, fuck off. How did you get that? And that's why I love the pages that compare the photos. There was one recently that popped up and it showed all the outtakes as well as the great photos.
Well, I think influencers are actually getting on board, and they do have their sort of unfiltered accounts, but a lot more is showing, I suppose, their camera rolls and showing how many photos they've actually taken to get that one photo. It's funny though, because to me, when I see all the photos they took, they all look very similar.
I do hope that this year we do see people moving away from publishing such curated content.
Well, we were talking about that the other day, weren't we, Soph? Because we were saying now, I suppose, I don't know if it's to do with likes being removed or just the way social media is changing, but I feel less obliged to like curated photos. I'll just be like, oh, it just looks like one big ad. Or they're just all looking the same to me. I think everyone's copying one another's photos and everything's looking the same. So it's actually when something stands out a bit more, I will tend to like it.
Well, back to the Instagram account. It does give me some flashbacks to when we were having to take a photo for our second year in business.
Yes. Oh my gosh. This was so cringeworthy. So not only were we taking the photo to put on our Instagram and our business page, because we realized we didn't actually have many photos of Sophie and I together to put out on our LinkedIn or anything like that. And we also had a request from a paper for a sort of businessy photo of ourselves for an article that we're going to run. So we're like, okay, we're going to do this properly. We're going to go down to one of those colorful like mural walls and let's get a couple of balloons and let's sort of really go for it.
Yeah, we ordered this enormous balloon from Big W and it had all this glitter inside. We could barely fit it in the car. Anyway, Amy was so paranoid that I was going to somehow let go of the balloon.
Well, because the balloons are really heavy. And so just, I don't know, something, she always seems to like let go of a balloon, or she's the sort of person that would happen to. She wore her shorts inside out at Audi. Like,
anyway, we've heard enough about that. You tied it onto my wrist and I held onto it. Then you grabbed the other out the car. You just walked off and this balloon gets tangled in a tree, explodes in front
Sophie,
of all these
that's
kids
not
walking
what happens.
Past.
That's not what happens. What the real story is, because Sophie likes to embellish, I walked out of the car and I walked along and the balloon just brushed past a twig, which popped it. So there was this loud bang and all these school kids were walking by and were
laughing.
There was
like confetti erupting in the air. And we were just like, gee, that's a way to really get noticed, isn't it? That's when you're trying to be very subtle.
But it was so embarrassing because we were taking the photo on a tripod on the automatic sort of camera setting. And so we had to keep sort of
And it was like across the road from the mural. So we had to keep setting it and then go over and pose. And then all these workmen were going by and ugh.
This photo shoot, as well as another photo shoot at the previous PR firm I used to work at, made me realize how unphotogenic I am. So the girls that I used to work with, they're all former cheerleaders. And they will be striking these
cheerleaders.
Yeah, they're all cheerleaders. Oh. They'd be all striking these poses. And I'd be standing there not knowing what to do with my arms or legs, just looking like a complete idiot.
That's the thing. Those people that are featured on this page, they do know how to strike a pose. They're not shy.
I'm a bit envious of that. I wish I need some lessons or something.
Well, now on to the pit and peak of our social media week. The peak is probably my favorite peak we've ever had on here, and it's to do with Gemma Collins, who used to be on the reality show TOWIE, or what? The Only
Why
Way is
I
Essex.
Say TOWIE? Isn't it TOWIE?
Well, it just depends what accent you have. Now, Gemma hosts a popular podcast in the UK where she answers questions and just gives her opinions on different things. And she's received a question from a fan. And I think we're just going to play it in its entirety because it is hilarious. Enjoy.
So the next email I've had is from Griffin. Hey, the GC. I like being called the GC. Why do people call me the GC? It's hilarious. I am a student and I've been struggling recently with procrastination. My exams are coming up and I find it hard to focus on my revision as I can't stop thinking about Love Island. Oh, Griffin. I've developed a bit of an addiction and I've been watching clip after clip of Love Island. I'm scared it would totally disrupt my studying and ruin my exams. Please could you tell me how to focus and combat my dating show dependency? Griffin, darling. You have got exams and they're important. Love Island is on catch up and you can catch up on it at any time. My advice to you would be, what does procrastination mean as well?
It's where you're like putting something off. So you're like, oh, I'll distract myself by doing the cleaning or he's watching Love Island.
I think by procrastinating, for anyone that doesn't know what it means, it's putting things off. Honey, concentrate on your exams because, you know, if you don't pass your exams, hon, you're not going to get the job that you potentially could want in the future. So Love Island is on catch up and you will be able to catch up. But for now, really channel your focus onto what's important to you.
Now, I have to say, I loved the seriousness of the way she answered, like it was a real conundrum.
Love
there.
Island.
I just love that, yeah, that was a serious question. And I just also love that she didn't know what procrastination meant. And then rather than cutting that bit out, just thought, oh, well, other people might not know what procrastination means. Let's just throw it in. I love her. I don't know about you, Sophie, but I kind of relate to that question. I'm getting so addicted to Love Island, which we'll be talking about a little bit further. I suppose now on to the pit of the week. Yeah, well, the pit for me has to be the article that Nova shared about Kylie Jenner's tribute message to Kobe Bryant. So they basically alluded that she was making the whole situation about herself. And I'm kind of at a loss to see how she made this about herself.
Yeah, well, for those who didn't see it, Kylie posted a tribute to Kobe Bryant, who sadly died alongside his daughter and 7 other people in a helicopter crash in LA. And Kylie posted a beautiful tribute. And near the end, she mentioned that she had actually flown in this helicopter with the pilot and that he was a lovely man. And apparently this is making the sad news about herself. That is ridiculous.
Now onto what is in our feed this week, and this one caught my attention. It is a new dating app called Helium, which allows you to label people with certain traits to kind of warn others about their behavior and tell them exactly what type of person they are. And it struck me as similar to the rating system of Uber Eats or Airbnb. So basically it urges you to call out people who ghost you or people who are rude on dates.
That thing is, though, it doesn't seem like it's designed to be an app where you actually meet the one, though, because if people are relying on people saying, oh, they were a great date, endorsing them, they obviously want to keep dating.
Well, I think it's actually to try and weed out any people on there who were there for the wrong reason. So you can either rate someone as being cute, chilled, funny, and then it moves on to the mean ones.
Ghost, if you really like the person, though, wouldn't you be like, oh, they were awful? Is it anonymous or does it show?
I'm not 100% sure whether it's anonymous or not. I think the person who you rate, they'll see what you've rated them, but the, you know, person flicking through and seeing. Oh no, but that's the worst thing. If the person that you actually went on the date with, can you imagine going on a date and then someone filled out that you were awful and rude and whatever?
To be fair, it'd be quite handy. Like, these people never get their comeuppance for being a dickhead, do they?
Well, the other thing that's been filling my news feed is news that former Biggest Loser Australia trainer Michelle Bridges was caught drink driving with her 5-year-old in the car. Now, this is kind of a sad story because Michelle's come out to sort of defend her actions, and she's revealed that she and the commando, who was, of course, another character on the Biggest Loser, have broken up, and they, of course, share their 5-year-old son together. So I don't know how I feel about this because there's been some support for Michelle, and then there, you know, in terms of people saying they don't think that her dirty laundry should be aired like this and that she must be going through a rough time to be caught drink driving with their child in the car. But then I do understand the news values that she is a well-known person, so of course they're going to talk about it in the papers.
I'm in two minds about this one as well. Obviously, I do feel for her going through this breakup, and also I feel like there's a lot going on in the background that we probably aren't privy to. You know, it's not always so one-sided in these situations. But then at the same time, she does take the perks of being in the public eye and the advantages. So at the same time, you do then have to face the consequences of these sort of things. And as you say, it could have been a situation that ended up way worse with her child in the car if she'd crashed. So yeah, I'm in two minds about that one.
On a side note, did you know that she's worth $53 million?
No, I did not.
That really surprised me. I read that. I was like, wow.
What has she got her money through?
Well, I think she's got deals, like book deals, and then she's got clothes through Big W and all of that kind of thing. Who knew clothes at Big W made you so much money? And lastly, the other big news headline that's been filling my news feed is, of course, all about Taylor Swift's new documentary, which is set to air on Netflix. I'm so excited. This looks amazing.
Well, one of the biggest headlines to come from this documentary is Taylor talking about the eating disorder she had during her 1989 tour. And it has been received well from fans. I mean, at the time, it did seem fairly obvious to those who followed her closely that she had lost a lot of weight. And
well, I think it's great that she's speaking out about it because she may be able to help a lot of other people who might be struggling through the same thing. And there is some other sad news in the doco. I'm assuming it's going to tackle some pretty tough issues with Taylor Swift revealing that her mum was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And I just felt so bad for Taylor. Like, she's obviously got a lot going on for her, but when you hear about family members becoming ill, it's horrendous.
I do love the fact, though, that Netflix are producing more programs like this. I really enjoyed Kevin Hart's documentary earlier in the year, and I'll be interested to see if hers follows a similar pattern of weekly episodes.
I think it is a doco series, and anyone who hasn't seen Kevin Hart's doco should go and watch it because it is so entertaining, and it does show you a different side of Kevin Hart. So I wonder if we're going to have a different perspective now of Taylor Swift.
I love how raw she got in the interviews as well. She was clearly didn't have a skerrick of makeup on.
She said the F word as well, which I love.
That blows my mind. I don't think I've ever heard her swear.
I'm hoping her cats are quite heavily in it as well. They're so gorgeous. Well, apart from Netflix, my nights have been spent watching Love Island UK. I'm hooked. Of course, we did go through the first episode of Love Island in a previous podcast. So if you do love the show, go back and hear our first thoughts on all the Love Island contestants. But this show is on every single night. It is hard to keep up on if you have a life. Not saying I don't have a life, but I have watched every single episode so far, so I'm up to date. So we thought it might be a good idea for those who might be a bit behind to get up to speed with the series.
Well, the most explosive thing that's set to happen this week is Leanne slamming Mike. Now, I, as well as a lot of viewers, were taken back by the little snippet we saw, and in it she confides in the girls that she feels like she's got a bit of ick factor going on for Mike.
And just to add context, Leanne and Mike have been partnered since day one of Love Island, and Mike is the lovable police officer. And I suppose there's been a bit of speculation about whether he is fake. I know our mum who's listening loves him, but I got a strange vibe. And of course, we saw last week Shauna questioning how legit he was. So in a challenge, she was asked to kiss the boy that she was asked to kiss the person who she thought was playing the game the most, and she kissed Mike. So whether that's got into Leanne's head or not, or she's just feeling the gross factor.
Well, judging by the little snippet we saw, she ended it by saying,
I don't want to be around the boy. Shut up, shut up, shut up. So what I gauge from that is that he must talk a lot of shit.
He does seem quite full on. That's why I did like him initially, but I was worried that maybe he was being a little bit fake because they've only known each other for a few weeks and he does seem very full on with the compliments.
That's the beauty of this show, though. I feel like we see the evolution of the characters on there. Similarly with Shaunice. Now, Shaunice?
No, Sophie, you get told off by her.
Sorry, am I saying it right?
Shaunice.
Shaunice.
So it's not Shaunice, it's Shaunice.
Okay, I don't see any difference in that, but
it's Sean.
Shaunice, okay. Yeah. Well, she is now becoming a bit of a fan favorite after she saved Naz in that elimination.
Yeah, so for those who didn't see, Shaunice, she was being a bit unlucky in love in the villa, which always means that people are going to feel a little bit sorry for you on the outside world. So it does actually work in their favor a bit in terms of if they're looking for fame and fortune. So Shaunice, she started to like Connor with a G, who was the big tall guy that came in, and he was ticking all of her boxes. The fact he was taller than Naz and he was dark and good looking. Anyway, new girl Rebecca, who I do not like. A lot of people don't like her. She came into the house during their sort of
villa, please, Amy.
Sorry, big villa. Brother. Into the villa when they were doing their sort of, not striptease, but their sort of dancing competition. And she just rubbed all the girls up the wrong way. And she set her sights first on Callum, which Shauna quickly got rid of, like extinguished that fire. And then she decided she wanted to get to know Connor with a G. So of course, Shaunice was left in the lurch again. And then this new guy comes in and suddenly Rebecca picks him. In the ceremony, and then Shaunice has to pick between Connor with a G that she likes and Naz, and she won all the girls' votes because she basically, you know, stuck the finger up at Connor with a G, who ignored her when Rebecca came in and chose fan favorite Naz to couple up with in a friendship.
I really love that moment because so many women would have picked the guy that they liked despite him kind of mugging her off for a few days. So I thought that was great that she saved Naz. Great for her reputation on the show as well.
Well, it was the right decision because he had told Rebecca that he was only interested in her. And so all it would have done was allowed Rebecca to play off these two guys and then ultimately leave Shaunice with nobody to partner up with.
Yeah, you're right. Something that is wonderful that is happening this week is that Naz has his first date, finally. Aww. And so the new Islander is Demi, and she does seem to have genuine eyes for Naz. So she said in her little profile that she just wanted to squeeze him and that she thinks he's so lovely.
Well, so she's pretty clever because my understanding is Naz is pretty popular on the outside. He kind of reminds me a bit of Dr. Alex from a few series ago in terms of he is a catch, but there's just nobody in the villa that sort of sees him in that way other than just as a friend. So it will be quite interesting to see if he does like this girl. Oh my gosh, on another note, have you seen the guy that looks like Justin Bieber?
Yeah, I was just about to bring him up. He is a dead ringer. Actually, I think he's better looking yeah, than Justin Bieber. He's more built than Justin Bieber. His ex recently, well, I use the term ex quite loosely, someone he used to sleep with for 5 years has come out.
He slept with her for 5 years. So I don't know. Okay. That might be an ex.
Well, to give background, he first met this woman when she was 18. She was on a holiday in Turkey and she introduced herself to Luke because she did think he was Justin Bieber. So since then, since this little holiday, the pair have stayed in contact for 5 years. And jeez, she says their relationship has consisted of them exchanging explicit messages/photos. So, I mean, it's safe to say it's not really a girlfriend-boyfriend situation.
So they live quite far away from each other.
Well, yeah, she said that she felt like the relationship only didn't go further because of the distance. Anyway, she seems like a bit of a tainted, scorned lover.
Gosh, that would be pretty rough, wouldn't it, if you had the hots for this guy that looks like Justin Bieber and then he rocks up on Love Island. You'd be like, oh my gosh.
Well, basically, she said, has called him a cheater.
What, even for though, being on Love Island?
No, well, because she realized that the explicit images he was sending her, he'd put a caption on the photos. Oh. So he was just sending these blanket caption photos out to all these different women.
But I don't know if that makes him a cheater if he was never in a relationship with her. It might make him just a bit of a sleazebag.
I think it makes her a little bit fame hungry, maybe. A little bit delusional.
Yeah. It would be so hard if you were in the villa and everybody coming out and saying all this stuff and you couldn't defend yourself.
Well, this girl apparently wanted to bring it to the attention of the public because
she
felt like Jess, one of the twins, was being played by him, because after after Jess and Luke's first date, Jess was saying that she feels like he's such a genuine guy and not a player at all.
Ugh, I'm sure 99% of these guys are players that have gone in. But you never know, do you? Because I feel like the good thing about this show is some of these guys, they probably would sleep around on the outside, but then they finally get the opportunity to spend time with these women and they might actually grow feelings for them. So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. Something else that's gone on in the villa, which is quite controversial, is Sophie and Connor. So Connor and Sophie were voted the least popular couple in the villa. That surprised me because they are the ones who actually have a genuine relationship in there. I don't know. I feel like people might like Sophie, but there's something about Connor that I just don't like.
He does seem very controlling.
He's very jealous.
Mm.
As in, the thing is, I could kind of see where he was coming from, because in a recent episode, Sophie was going on in front of him how good looking she thought the new guy, Justin Bieber guy, was.
She did stare him up a bit.
But I was thinking, I put myself in those shoes and I was thinking, if the guy I was coupled up with was like, oh, she's so hot, and look at this and look at that, you'd just be like, what the hell is wrong with you? Mm. Like, how is that impressing me? I don't know. I could kind of see where he's coming from. But anyway, they're in the bottom two. And so the other islanders had to make the decision of what to send one of them home. And so they sent Connor home. And so Sophie stays. I wondered why she didn't leave with him.
I think it's fairly obvious why she didn't stay with him. That it's only very early days in the villa.
But the whole point of the show is you have to stay partnered up. So if she had true feelings and wanted to meet the one, and she thought Callum possessed some of those qualities,
But she's a 21-year-old girl. That's clearly not the aim of being on the show.
Oh my God, is she 21? Yeah.
The aim of being on the show is to build your profile and to land sponsorship deals.
No, but that's
deals.
Not the aim of the show.
That's the aim of her on the show.
No, I know, but I'm saying that they all go in there and say they're genuinely looking for love, but then the person that you're coupled up with leaves and you don't leave. I don't know.
It's kind of like Lucy last year when she didn't leave for Joe.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
I did read an interesting piece. It was written by an English journalist and they were talking about how they think Love Island really needs to have a revamp and start evolving.
You did read me bits and pieces. So he was saying that they do all the same challenges, but I don't know. I don't even think it's about the challenges. It's about the people's personalities and they're all different. So I don't mind the format.
He did say it needs a revamp, but he also pointed out that it has changed because it now has a more family friendly audience. So this is a show that you're going to sit down in England with your parents and watch. And in the first series, all the couples were jumping into bed together and sleeping with one another. But for the past three seasons, I'd say, none of the couples have had sex. And his argument is that it has led to couples not being as genuine.
I don't know if I agree with this journalist, because I don't necessarily think that because the islanders aren't having sex that makes their relationships any less legitimate. Because I feel like the problem is that most of these people just go and have sex out when they're out, and then their relationships are meaningless, but they're actually forming meaningful relationships and really getting to know each other. And it's not just based on sex. It's actually based on whether they get along and their personalities.
Yeah, we're talking about sex on reality shows. I heard an interesting podcast with Laura Byrne recently, and she, of course, is engaged to Maddie J at the moment and they have a child together. And she said she felt like the fact that they didn't sleep together for the first couple of months of their relationship, that it made their bond even stronger and their relationship better, because Maddie J kind of had to work for it and wait for it, and it made it more special. So there is that, you know, argument as well.
Well, I am looking forward to seeing which couples actually do stay together, because there has been criticism that a lot of them don't. And I think if you look back, Tommy and Molly May, I think they're one of the only couples that have actually stayed together, and they didn't even win. Well, Amber won.
That's incorrect, Amy. Maura and Curtis are still together.
Oh no, but I know, but I'm just saying they're one of the only couples. And if you look at Amber and Greg, everyone knew they weren't going to stay together.
That was a joke that she won. I'm sorry. Molly and Tommy were the outright favorites and should have hands down one, that show. If anyone is looking for some YouTube content to tune into, go look up Molly May. She was, of course, a YouTuber before she went on Love Island UK. And gosh, I'm loving it. They went to the Bahamas, her and Tommy. I think her content is quite good. It's quite real and a bit raw. So check that one out.
Now, this might be an unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
But this journalist in the article also was calling out the fact that he thinks the British pool of models is running dry, if this is the best specimens we've got this year.
Well, if you do compare the current Islanders to previous series, if we're looking at a hot scale, you've got sort of your Maura Higgins and your Alex Bowen at number 10 on the hot scale. I'd say that some of them are more a 7. So they're still hot.
That being said, the new Justin Bieber who came in,
yeah,
he's a 10 on the scale, I have to say. So maybe they just want to keep the hotties till the end and trickle them through.
I must say that Leanne is stunning. Yeah, she's gorgeous. Could be, no, I don't think she's a model, but she could be a model. She's stunning looking.
Mm.
But I don't know. I think the best of the first lot was Callum, but he's still one of those kind of, you know, your average kind of English guy,
I never really rated him. I don't know if it was just his personality, but obviously they're all extraordinarily good looking. But as you say, the talent pool is dwindling.
We're just going on the ridiculous Love Island hot scale, which is Maura Higgins at the top.
Well, that's probably all we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening to the episode. If you have enjoyed today's episode, we'd love it if you could share an Instagram story to show us where you're listening from. And of course, tag us in @outspoken_the_podcast on Instagram.
And if you do want to join in the conversation online, we're on Facebook and Instagram @outspoken_the_podcast. And we do have a private group on there that we'd love you to join. We haven't been too active on it, but we will be starting to post polls and funny photos and just have some really good chats in there. So we'd love if you could join us.